God, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. Tonight we ask that you hide your servant behind the cross, and that all of Jesus might be seen, and that indeed we would indeed reflect upon the word and what took place, and that you, O God, would be glorified in what takes place tonight, and that you, O God, greatest of great, that you might continue to pour out your love and blessing and grace upon us. Amen. Please be seated. This is one of the places in Scripture that we do not find a list of a person who says about their faith. It's not a mention of one of these individuals having faith, but indeed we see faith was present. Amen. And that we have to understand in those first verses of chapter 7, we see an experience of the centurion who has a servant who is sick and he wants him to be healed, and he sends for Jesus. He had also helped them in building of a temple or a place of worship. And whenever he did this, he also would be knowledgeable about Jewish tradition and laws. And when Jesus came near to his house, he met him on the road. And he says, I'm unworthy for you to come under my roof, basically. What I want you to understand is that I'm a man of authority. When I tell a soldier to go, he goes. When I tell a soldier to come, he comes. And if you only speak the words of healing, it'll be done. And Jesus says, let it be so. And when he returned, that servant had been healed in an hour. But now it's the next day. We're 18 miles away from Capernaum. We're in a place called Nain. And we want to talk about faith and faithfulness. You see, once there was a shepherd which came to the city of Edinburgh in Scotland from the country. He had a small, obedient dog with him. And while he was there, he died and was buried. And the little dog lay upon his master's grave, not for one day, not for 1 week, and not for 1 month, and not for 1 year, but for 12 years. It seems that each day at about 1 o'clock, they would fire a rifle off in the castle, and the dog would leave the grave and run to the baker, and the baker would feed the dog and give him water, and he would return back to that grave. That's faithfulness, you know. And when we think about faithfulness, we have to say that we can talk about some folks in Christian history. George Mueller prayed for 52 years for the salvation of one man, and God responded, and he was saved. That's faith. Are you not glad that Jesus was faithful in dying for us, and that he now lives and is faithful to care for us? You see, God grant us grace to be filled with faith and continue being faithful in our lives all the way to the end. Run the race to the fullness, as Paul writes, you see. I would like for you to imagine, if you will, as we turn back the pages of time, we get a report from the Middle East by a news reporter, and his name is no other than Dr. Luke. He has been investigating this one called Jesus, and he's writing so that a friend, Theophilus, might know who Jesus is and might indeed find that faith in Christ Jesus is a saving and life-changing experience, is what it is, you see. He's not an apostle, he's not an eyewitness, and not sure what he's reporting, but in all honesty, he's recording and transmitting what he hears and sees and recording. Yet he knows that many will need to hear and heed the reports of this extraordinary man named Jesus, you see. He has followed the footsteps of Jesus and interviewed the witnesses of extraordinary power Jesus has. He is embedded with the people who have witnessed the miracles and wonders displayed by Jesus. He was recently in Capernaum, and he heard of the healing of by the centurion servant by Jesus, was simply speaking the words of healing from a distance. Our reporter has journeyed to Nain, 18 miles away, to interview the eyewitnesses of what occurred there during Jesus' visit. What will be the headline of his report? Jesus spoiling a funeral? Perhaps the raising of a dead man might better work. Or perhaps dispelling a mother's grief, our discerning master at his work, our heavenly appointment. As we follow the reporter's report, you can decide on the lead for this report. We see Jesus indeed spoiling a funeral. Men dare not interrupt a funeral. You realize that, right? Most of us respect the dead. Most people won't speak evil of the dead, you see. Onlookers remove their hats and stand still until the passing of the procession passes, you see. Jesus did what others never thought of doing. He came along, you see. Luke describes the occurrence. Doctors are usually concerned with the living. Undertakers take care of the dead, you see. This physician, Luke, was different. At times he was more concerned with the dead when Jesus was around than he was with the living. There are many other miracles in the Bible, but always a demonstration of God's power were the outcome of the faith which refused to yield and kept praying and seeing it through. Here was no mention of a believing person. Here no plea for help was raised. What Jesus did, he did because of something with his own persona. He was moved. Yet Jesus' actions were from the heart of God. They were out of God's love. They were out of God's mercy and out of God's grace that he acted. Young people and everyone else wonders what they should say when they attend a home that has suffered a tragic loss or a death in their family. Eventually, they learn what's most important is just showing up, just being there, quietly observing, being respectful indeed. If we were to title it The Raising of a Dead Man, the Jews did not enclose a corpse in a casket or coffin. They carried them around on a briar. They placed the dead on it, a plank that had raised edges so the body wouldn't roll off, and the young man's body would be visible to all the public as they passed down the street. The mourners' wail filled the air, and tears falling from all to hear and see as they proceeded. The breadwinner and sole support of the widow had just died. We do not know the cause of death nor the length of his sickness, but we do know that he was dead. She had devoted herself as a widow when her husband died to her son, because by Jewish tradition he would be taking care of his mother, you see. Now the outlook was bleak. Perhaps in our life we've had a loss of a loved one and we thought life was bleak. But God is always there. He's always with us, even in those low times of our lives, you see. God had apparently forsaken her as her son was soon to be buried. It doesn't seem right that one so young should die. We hear people who cry out, it's not supposed to be this way. Children are never supposed to die before their parents, but sometimes it does happen. Amen. The widow was thinking that God had left her. Everything was taking place, but Christ agreed with the statement that young shouldn't die so young, you see. The widow thinking that he had left her, the Son of God was already on his way to the funeral. To walk 18 miles meant that he left hours earlier so that he would arrive in Nain in the time of the funeral procession. God is never late. Jesus arrived on time to do God's work and bring a great blessing. I often talk about Alaska because I spent 26 years there. A pastor friend of mine loved to fish for salmon sharks in Prince William Sound. He was working directing the youth home for the Baptist Association, and he had gone out fishing with another partner, and they were out in Prince William Sound. When suddenly a rogue wave came up to the back of the boat and swamped it. He got off a message call to tell people he was in trouble. I received a phone call from his wife asking for us to pray. But you know, God's always on time. It just so happens that Alaska Pipeline was holding an exercise. out around Bligh Reef, which happened to be about the area our pastor friend was fishing. And they saw that the boat was sinking, and they saw one man in the life suit, but they also saw this one gentleman sitting on the bow of the boat, which was the only part of the boat that was above water, and they began to react with a tugboat. But also there was a news crew that happened to be filming this exercise in a helicopter. And they just happened to come over in time to pluck my pastor friend, Leonard, off the top of his boat to safety. And the tugboat picked up the gentleman in the survival suit. God wasn't late. He was on time. We didn't realize that until they called us that afternoon to tell us that all were safe and all were warm, you see. That situation takes place in life sometimes. Yes, God was on time and at the right time to avert the disaster in Prince William Sound with an answer to our prayers. The dispelling of a mother's grief was present there. Can you see the procession as it makes its way towards the city gate? The hired musicians and weeping women went first, for Jewish tradition said that women brought men into the world and they should lead them out. So they were women that were present there as well. Just ahead of on the plank upon which the young man's body rested walked a woman whose heart was breaking. Tears blinded her eyes and sorrow devastated her soul. She seemed without hope. She was even perhaps questioning her faith. She had no knowledge of what was about to take place. Her son was dead. The outlook was bleak, at least. But Christ was coming towards the gateway, and sometime in our ignorance, we think an outpouring of his power depends exclusively upon the strength of a man's faith, you see. But God cannot be coerced in doing things. And the story of the raising of the young man provides a glowing example for all to read and visualize. God acts when God desires to act and is not a respecter of persons. God loves the poor as well as the rich. God loves the healthy as well as the sick. God loves the young as well as the old. And God loves believers and non-believers as well, you see. God desires that none should perish, no, not one. I think about Jonah, a reluctant missionary, sent to the enemy's camp to go to Nineveh and proclaim that in 40 days or else, he'll be destroyed. And they begin a revival, if you remember, and they begin to put on sackcloth and ashes, including the main man, the king of the city. And everyone put on sackcloth and ashes, and they didn't feed or water the animals. And 40 days later, there's Jonah. He's sitting around waiting. Just fry him, Lord. You know they're our enemies. Just fry him. And all of a sudden, nothing happens. And then God comes to him and asks him, hey, what's the deal? And he goes, hey, I told you, you are a righteous God, you're a gracious God, you spared them with your mercy. You should have consumed them. And God says, you know, there are 120,000 in the city of Nineveh that don't know their right hand from their left hand. Children. And for them, I spared it. And Nineveh survived for 120 years. After that, before judgment fell on Nineveh. A discerning master was there. There is evidence to support the assertion that Christ came specifically to meet the funeral. Climatic conditions in the Middle East are such that if you don't bury them soon, they start to smell. You see, they would inter them in all that's there. There was no time to summons Christ from Capernaum, 18 miles away. Jesus commenced his journey to Nain even before the young man died. Any time later and he would have been late for the funeral, you see. But was it by accident that he arrived when he did? Did not God lay out the universe and he keeps it in motion and he keeps us safe on a little planet called Earth? Yeah. Could he not have prepared another star to shine in the heavens? He's not limited. He can do whatever he wants to do. If Christ was aware of the situation without seeing the woman, can he not see where we are and what we're doing? And by that, I guess I should ask, are you a Sunday Christian on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and the rest of the week? Or is it just on Sunday? He knows us. He sees us. We're his children, you see. God cares and loves his children. We are his adopted children. We have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, etched by the finger of God, never to be erased, you see. We are joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. In high and heavenly places that we have yet to experience, you see. Receiving forgiveness of our sin and eternal life by our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. How great is the power of Jesus. Anyone in here ever know someone that had cancer and had a bad prognosis and they're still alive today? Anyone know someone that had a serious accident and they recovered? My wife had a major stroke and they said that she would possibly never walk or talk again. 7 days later, she got up and began to walk and talk. Of course, she was full of instructions for me. In our lives, sometimes we forget how powerful our God is. We sometimes want to put him in a little cap bottle and take the cap off when we need him. But the reality, we need him all the time. Amen. There's not a moment in our lives that we don't need Jesus in our lives, you see. How great is his power, oh mercy. And on the briar was the body of a widow's only son. Jesus saw her tears and said, young man, I say to you, get up, arise. You know, he's going to say that to all of us one day. He said it to us when we were spiritually dead too, and I'll get to that in a minute. On the briar was the body. Jesus saw her tears and he said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead awoke. What a message for us. Ephesians 1, 2 through 7 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed to be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to be unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. And how rich is God? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know what the fair market price is for 1,000 cattle on the hills, but I expect it's a pretty chunk of money, you know. Have we been dead to Jesus' kind of life? And the answer would be, yes, we have been in the past. When we were unsaved, we were spiritually dead. We didn't know really right from wrong. Now, we may have obeyed mom and dad when they said, don't steal. And then they spank you when you did, and then made you go back and apologize for doing that, you know. Have we lived the world's way with thoughts and desires tangled by the cries that distract others? And the answer is yes, in our past we were. We were drawn to all those things that God wanted to keep us away from and spare us from. No matter how dead we may have been spiritually, the Holy Spirit came awakening us to a new life in Christ Jesus. He came by and whispered our name. First of all, he brought conviction upon us. We needed to understand that we couldn't measure up to an Almighty God standard. That measuring reed that they always talked about, we would have fallen short. That without Jesus, we couldn't get there. But with Jesus, we can get there, you see. We had conviction and then we had confession, for we confessed our sins and asked him to come into our heart to save us and be the Lord of our lives from that day forward. And when we did, he did it just like that. He didn't miss a minute. He didn't miss a heartbeat. He did it immediately. And when he came into us, he changed us, changing our wanometer, I like to say. We now want what Jesus wants us to have, and we want more and more about Jesus. Then came acceptance, we said, and then we heard those words, arise, arise, and live my new life in Jesus, that you are now born again person and that you never have to go back to what you were. And indeed, it's not good for you to even think about going back. And God prevents you from going back because he will bring correction into your life if you move away from him. I love Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. It's a Baptist faith message. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And when we're walking in God's stead, it's amazing how even and level the road seems to be we travel. How great it is when God is on our side and we are on his side. Sometimes I think God might not always be on the side of America, but he's always on the side of his people. Amen. We see a heavenly appointment. It was all over and everyone was gasping. Jesus had ruined a funeral, you see. The hired musicians might never get paid, Brother Dave. People were beginning to run towards the gate, for all could see the corpse was setting up. The funeral bandages were being removed and the young man lifted to his feet, and Jesus turned towards the mother and gave the son back to her arms. What a reunion. When some of our loved ones have been near death and they've come back, what a great reunion it is, because they want to change their life and live it differently, usually, because they know that they've made mistakes. But what a great reunion that would be, you see. The angels of heaven must have been filled with ecstasy whenever they began to see what was occurring there in the city of Nain. Without even the key of faith, Christ had unlocked the eternal treasure chest. Perhaps to reassure us that even when we are not present on earth to exercise faith in the future, he will make the grave yield its victims. Our bodies will be raised again, and then we will return from the sky in the company of our wonderful Lord Jesus. What a great reunion that will be. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 says, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You see, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a meeting. He will give our loved ones back to us and us to our loved ones when we get there, you see. Forever we shall live together in his presence. It is well to remember that as in the case of Nain, he will do this not because of our mighty faith makes him do so. He will do it because this was decided in the eternal council and meeting of the Godhead, you see, in heaven itself. This will be the normal unfolding of the divine purposes, and happy indeed are those who will be present to witness the gathering in the sky. In summary, I'd like to say we have reviewed the report of a funeral spoiled by Jesus. We have reviewed the life of the young man who died, to what degree we could. We reviewed the distracted mourner, the widow, and we reviewed the discerning master, Jesus himself, Yes, we reviewed the delightful meeting and the future meeting in the air. The Prince of Life meeting the victim of death on the streets of Nain took place. Luke 7:16-18, and there came a great fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is arisen among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions and round about. 18, and the disciples of John showed him all these things. And that hymn, H-I-M, is saying that John the Baptist was being told about the powers of Jesus Christ. And if you remember, John the Baptist was the one who had baptized Jesus and saw the Spirit of God as a dove descending upon Jesus and called him the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. That when we think about that, we have to understand that he was a man of faith that had prepared the way for the coming of Christ, the Messiah himself. But yet he might have had some doubts. In our lives, sometimes we have doubts. But rest assured, God has never left us nor ever forsaken us. He's always been there with us if we'll but call out to him. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The miracle of life from death attested to a previously sorrowing crowd that Jesus was a messenger from God. A fear came over them that glorified God. The crowd was not mistaken in the fact that God had visited them. Jesus, in his compassion and love, wants to remove our heartaches and our sorrows. All too often we spend time weeping when we should be exercising our faith in Christ to meet our needs. The question becomes, do you know that you know him? And if you do, does he know you? And do you know that he's watching you? Do you live like you know Jesus? Amen. Jesus has overcome death in our meeting today out of the compassion of a loving God. He is not willing that any should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of grace offered through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the resurrection and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but through Jesus' shed blood of atonement on the cross of Calvary. From a sentence of death, let us snatch victory to a sentence of forgiveness and life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come, Jesus is waiting. Respond today to his call and life eternal. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father God, as we're about to have an invitational hymn, we ask that you, O Lord, your Spirit would guide us and direct those who might need rededication or indeed the first dedication to the Lord. We ask your blessings upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand tonight? We've heard the word. We have the promise that the Holy Spirit has taken the word and dealt with each one of our hearts exactly where we're at and leads us to where he wants us to be. And if God speaks tonight to your heart, convincing you of a decision that needs to be made, would you make it for his honor and glory as we sing tonight?
Just as I am,
just
without
like we are,
plea, but that thy blood
unable,
was shed,
incapable of changing something ourselves. But Lord, we're trusting you.
Of God I come. I come.
Just would you open your heart, allow him to have his way?
And
the altar is open, the invitation's extended.
My soul of one dark
Lord, I'm trusting you.
God,
I'm coming.
God, I come.
Amen. Thank you, James. That spoke to my heart tonight. You know, you see that comparison of us being dead in our trespasses and sin and risen by the Lord, by salvation. Amen. Any other word tonight that we have? All right. Brad, how about you come and dismiss us, please, sir?
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this powerful message of the resurrection. The resurrection power that lives within all of us by the gift of your grace. Amen. The fact that your Son was sent for us, and he went back, and he's making a place for us. And the thing that we look forward to, the thing that we keep our eyes on the eastern sky for, is his blessed returning. I thank you so much for this Christmas season. The fact that we can go out as a set-apart people and draw people and invite them and persuade them into your grace, and that by the power of your Holy Spirit, they should be saved. I pray that everybody leaves here tonight, finds somebody in their life, and says, follow me as I follow Jesus. That's my prayer. I pray for each and every soul in this building. Protect them, guide them, guard them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Drive safe. I invite somebody to come to his story in his arena this weekend. Rest is history.